and welcome to Dames and Dice. I'm your host, Becca, and this podcast is a chance for me and my friends to talk games in a comfortable space. Today, I want to talk about a game that is coming up on its one-year anniversary for me and some of my friends, and that is RuneQuest Glorantha. Today, I have Beth and JM here to talk with us. So, hello, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
And so, how are you?
Doing great.
Yeah, doing well.
Good. So just for people listening, you should recognize Beth's voice if you've listened to any other podcast by Dames and Dice. And Beth, what games have you played recently?
So most recently, I think we finished up our 5e campaign. And then I've played some Darkeye, and I've played some Jackals, and I've played some Glorantha.
Cool. And JM, you might recognize from Iconic Podcast. And if you watch any of the stream games, you will recognize him as the illustrious GM of Iconic Podcast. And what games are you running right now?
I am running 13th Age and Torg and Fading Suns and technically RuneQuest Glorantha, but we're taking a hiatus to do some playtesting of my game. So,
woohoo! Yeah. So, RuneQuest Glorantha, JM, you know the history of this. Where is it from? How long has it been around? What is it?
So, RuneQuest Glorantha is the latest iteration of both RuneQuest and Glorantha by Chaosium Games. Glorantha is a fantasy world that was created by mythologist Greg Stafford. So it's got a, one of the examples they use is if Middle Earth was created by a linguist, and that kind of like Tolkien's love of languages kind of influenced all of Middle Earth. Greg was a mythologist and loved, he was a lot of different things, but he loved mythology. And so Glorantha was his world to explore his love of mythology in. And RuneQuest was the first game done by Stafford's company, Chaosium, which was created by Steve Perrin. It's a D100 game. And at various times in its life, it's been paired with Glorantha or done its own thing, and now they're back both in the same place under the same company. So
cool. Yeah. It is a lot of fun. And it is a D100 game, so different from your typical fantasy D20 games like D&D or 13th Age. It is more similar to Call of Cthulhu in that your characters have a stat percentage abilities instead of just how strong you are giving a modifier to things. It's your sneak is at 25%, and if you can roll lower than that, good. If you can't, that sucks. And yeah, it's set in RuneQuest Glorantha, Bronze Age fantasy myths. So it's not so much about the castles and the dungeons and the massive piles of gold you will find a dragon hoarding. It is much more centered on clan and family, and I really hope this axe doesn't break when I hit that thing over there. Mm-hmm. But so we started about a year ago, and we didn't start with character creation. Unlike a lot of games where you show up, you make your character in session zero, and then figure out how they're a party, we actually started with the history of our clan. So our clan, our tribe, our peoples. Who are they? Where are they from? And why in the world are they here now? Beth, what do you remember from that session?
I remember trying to take notes initially and then very quickly stopping. I remember being kind of overwhelmed by all of the myths because there was so many names coming out that I was not familiar with. So my brain was on a bit of overload. But it was a really cool way to get introduced to even if I forgot all of those names and all of those battles and all of those gods and who did what, where, when, just a general sense of what this world looks like, the interactions between the gods and the lack of separation between Earth and the gods and that whole thing, I think it gave, I felt like I got a really good sense as to what the, in a general way, what the mythology was. And it was also kind of a fun way for us as a group, who a lot of us didn't really know each other, to come together and sort of make some decisions about how the game was going to go, but in a way that was not so character focused, that we're sort of like, you know, here's a list of 8 options. Which of these things was your clan or your tribe involved in? And so it was kind of a fun way to just meet each other. Mm-hmm. I guess, before, like, getting down and dirty with the game.
Right. In our game, we have 5 players and then JM as GM. And it's 3 women and 2 guys playing, which, surprisingly, doesn't affect the game as much as you might think, especially when some of the guys are the ones driving our marriage negotiations. but we got together, and I mean, I think one of the questions JM asked us was, what does your tribe hate? And we picked dwarves. We could have picked what else? Trolls, ducks.
a bunch of different things.
Yeah, trolls, ducks, dwarves. Because why not?
And I think there were points where we were really trying to be like, what makes sense for our world? And what's like, what's continuity from previous decisions we'd made? And then there were other times where we were just like, duck people are awesome. And it really had nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that definitely happened. But yeah, so we started with that and figured out who our clan was in this tiny Tula in the middle of nowhere. Not surrounded by anything, but apparently at odds with some of the other clans in the area. And then we got to character creation. And I remember the first time I got in the book, I had sat down to try to create a character to understand the way it works. And I got overwhelmed because you don't actually start with your character. You start with your grandparents. And you start rolling for, does grandma survive the battle of, all I can think is actual places, the Battle of Antioch or not. And if not, well, then what does grandpa go on to do? And, oh, your parents were born in this year. Well, what did they do? Who's still alive? That's not something I've experienced really before.
I loved it because I think it was just by happenstance of I had like very consistent die rolls that pretty much everyone but one family member were dead, and none of my siblings had any children. So like in a setting where theoretically you should have bunches of relatives floating around, I really did not, just because of the way the dice rolled. And I had one grandmother that had done some pretty cool stuff, and that was it. Everyone else in my family had sort of died doing nothing. And so I came out of that session, it was kind of funny, but I came out of that session with this sense of like, I'm going to create a character that does not have pride in her family because she doesn't have any reason to, as apart from what would be very, in that world, what would be very normal would be to have pride and attachment to your family. I don't see anything from this dice rolling that would say my character would necessarily. And so it's become an arc over the last year of how she learns more things about her family and does develop great pride in her family in a way that she, to my mind at least, did not have starting off. So that was actually really fun for me towards actually developing my character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your character has been very interesting in that we all thought we were nobodies from this tiny village, and yet you have this link to a great dynasty almost. Mm-hmm. And possible power and wealth beyond measure. And I think it's kind of thrown us all, and we've kind of all taken it and put it in a box and kind of gone, we'll deal with that later.
Right.
but now it's there.
Well, and it's led me to even make decisions. Like at one point, I have one brother who's alive. So at this point, I made the decision, I don't want to tell my brother because I don't want to put my brother in danger, right? And then as a player, I made the selfish decision of, I'm going to tell my brother because if I kill this character, I want to continue the storyline. And so someone else has to know. Right? And so because I'm really enjoying the storyline. And so I've made that call because in Glorantha, you are squishy. And so the odds of this character actually being able to make it to the end and figure out what this whole thing is with her family is probably pretty low. So I wanted to sort of have another option of how to explore that.
Yeah. JM, and yes, I am asking you to kind of peel back the curtain a little for this, but when we were making our mythology and our history and our ancestries and then who our characters were, how did you take these random roles and insert it into the world of Glorantha?
Well, I mean, not all of them are random roles, right? So Glorantha has always sort of been a different approach than kind of the core D20 sort of view of gaming, which is, you know, D20, you're sort of itinerant murder hobos who have no land, have no family, have no connections. And Glorantha is about the opposite of all that in a lot of ways. And so all of the roles that you made were for the historical events that happened in your characters' lifetimes. So it was very easy to take that and then just say, okay, well, what's the next event that happens that is based off this? And they're always very clear in all Glorantha books, right? Your Glorantha may vary, like just, or will vary. Make it your own. And so it's been more of a, what are you guys wanting to do? What are you guys focused on? Okay, what's going on in the background that I can reference or pull in from, like, the Guide to Glorantha or, you know, any number of myriad books that they've put out over the last 30 plus years.
Cool. Yeah, because I think, Beth, you've said it before in a way that isn't often seen in even 5e D&D, the world moves on without us.
Yeah, there's this very rich mythology. Well, I guess it's not even really the mythology. I don't know. It's the world that these characters are living in and the politics of that world and the interaction of the gods with the people in that world and the small interactions of the people have echoing consequences. And those echoing consequences don't go away just because your party happens to venture out of your hometown to do something. Those things are all going on. And sometimes those things are at odds maybe with what your party wants to do. So if we're on a quest to complete all these requirements so that one of our characters and one of the NPCs can get married. So we had this marriage negotiation and there's, for a number of reasons, things went wrong beforehand and all the things that we had to now have to do as a result have been filling many a season. We've had a checklist of all the things we have to do, but in the midst of, and initially it was just sort of a checklist. Here's all the things we're going to do. And then things started erupting in the world. So there was a rebellion in a certain town and another person in the world was named the prince of another town. And so there was a dragon attack. And so all these things that are happening in the world are very much affecting what our characters are doing. And in certain circumstances, we were right in the middle of them. And so you have to ask the very real question of when does my personal or my family's or my clan's priorities get put aside maybe because there are bigger things at play. So it's not so easy as just the checklist of here's all the things we have to get done in the next three seasons before this marriage is supposed to happen. So the dilemmas that the group is up against are a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot more, I think it's really fun because you're part of a bigger story. And you're also, I think, very aware of how not heroic you are. I mean, like, you're, I don't mean that in a bad way, but like, you're not guaranteed to succeed. Like, the odds of you not succeeding are actually pretty decent. And maybe you trying to succeed against those odds is what makes you heroic. But it's not sort of a guarantee that you're, you know, 75% chance you're going to get out of here with your goal achieved and no one's dead. Like, the odds of that happening are actually low. And so are the stakes high enough that you're willing to risk that to go after the thing?
Right, because our characters are not professional heroes.
No.
In fact, I mean, let's talk about the characters of our group right now. I play Vesana, a shaman who, I mean, I had to spend an entire season becoming a shaman. I was an assistant shaman to start with.
And it wasn't, and you almost didn't succeed.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about how much I cried. But yeah, I almost didn't succeed. Or at least I felt like I almost didn't. I don't know how close I really came to not succeeding. And then there's you.
I am a initiate of Babistagor, who is the earth goddess of death, right? There's death involved. And I'm somehow also a philosopher.
Because those two make sense together.
They make perfect sense, but I have my own portable platform to go around and talk to people in public, and that's probably the best thing to come out of that.
She has a soapbox
I have my own soapbox.
It's great. We have a healing priest who cannot harm a living creature.
Who's trying to get married.
And he's the one who's trying to get married. We started with a noble woman who was planning to become the chief of our clan, but she died. And then we picked up another noble woman, and she got into a fight, gladiatorial fight, and died. And now we have someone who is more of a, I'd even say librarian. Mm-hmm. Looking for lost manuscripts to add to the general knowledge of the people. So, to sum, currently we have a shaman, who, by the way, is very pregnant, a philosopher.
With a badass axe.
Battle axe. A librarian, a priest who cannot take a life or harm another creature, and at one point, we had a cattle herder, and now we have a troll who is subservient to yet another priestess. So these are not heroes. They're philosophers, they're librarians, they're trolls. They're not out to actually save the world, but we somehow keep ending up in the middle of it. I think our priest, who could not take a life, he ended up being a leading voice in putting down and stopping a rebellion in a town. And not because he killed everybody, but because he stopped everybody from killing everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Which I don't think you would have in a D&D game. Like ever. But yeah, so our group...
But that was a situation that's so much bigger than at least what I've experienced in D&D. You're not talking about you have a party of five and maybe they're up against like 15 baddies of some flavor. You're talking about like an entire town that is fighting each other that you just happen to step out in the middle of. And I mean, we could have had the option to run away, to leave. That would have been an option. But there's no possible way we could have fought and that would have come out well. At least I don't think that's the case.
Right, because battles in RuneQuest Glorantha are not actually something you want to get involved in. As Jam had said earlier, in Glorantha, you do not get to be the murder hobos because you will not win that way. We have been in five battles, or there have been five fights. Brew, Waktapai, gladiator, werewolves, and a merchant.
Yes.
And dwarves. So five battles, and in those five different fights, we've lost three characters. battles are not something in RuneQuest Galarntha that you want to get involved in.
No. And for playing almost every week for a year, those, it seems like we've been in so much more combat than that. and I, at least to me, and I think it's because there's, well, we stress eat, as we say, and there's so much tension involved when they're going on, that they play a much bigger, you know, they stand out so much.
Well, there is so much tension, not even just in battles, but as we kind of have mentioned, our current arc and progress has been one for the primary goal of getting our priest Sestapos married. That's what this game has been about. And we went into marriage negotiations with an NPC. And as we went in, Sestapos told us, don't promise anything. I'll do all the talking. And we watched as he severely underestimated this NPC and practically sold our clan into slavery.
Not into slavery, but definitely into debt.
Very much into debt.
Yes.
And since then, we have been attempting to complete all the different requirements, as you were saying, to get him married. And it has been so tense. I think that marriage negotiation caused a lot of stress eating. And that's not something that you often hear about when you play a tabletop game, is mm-hmm. how stressful the marriage was. Mm-hmm. Or not even marriage. We haven't even gotten to the wedding. That causes sleepless nights for some people, and it's fine.
And the characters, I think this is a credit to JM, like the NPCs that we're coming up against are smart people. Like this isn't like kind of a buffoon that you can, you know, talk your way around and if all else fails, throw a couple punches. Like these are characters that are probably five steps ahead of most of us mm-hmm. at all times. And so, and we know that
now.
And it's now not just that one character. It's like repeated characters that these are smart people. And so, and not necessarily smart people out to get us, just smart people that also it's their goals may not be obvious. And so can you trust them or not? I don't know. Or can you kind of trust them? But that's a lot more complicated thing than black and white. Mm-hmm. And so that is really fun to play with because it's not, I don't think we've had a lot of black and white decisions, actually. I think it's sort of, we're going to try to go this way and it kind of goes how it goes. And then we sort of have to deal with it. And it may end up with us being more indebted to certain individuals or it may end up with us being heroes, but then that comes with this whole sort of baggage and notoriety, you know? So,
right.
I think that is part of, you know, it's almost, there's almost as much tension with just like trying to talk with someone we don't know as there is with actually like having a fight.
Every time our party returns to the clan chief calls us in front of him and yells at us because we've messed up somehow. And
it's just one ever progressing show of disappointment.
But in this world of NPCs that JM has crafted and are delightful to play with, are there any that are your favorites, JM, to play and Beth and myself to play against, to interact with? For myself, there is Carthello, who was a crazy shaman, very much insane. And Beth and I, our characters were both drawn to him for two completely different reasons. And we sadly lost him. And for myself, Darkblood, the clan chieftain who was our mortal enemy, and we walked into negotiations with and just about lost everything. He was very interesting to be playing against and with, because he's not what we expected him to be, mm-hmm. which was pretty cool. So I'd say those two have been some of my favorite NPCs that JM has created.
I would say I definitely enjoyed Carthello. I think so. He ended up being the first link to sort of more information about my family. So that was really fun. And the fact that he was sort of crazy, but not like totally crazy. So every time that we, every day we play, Jam would roll up how sane he was that particular day. And sometimes he was humorously not. And other times he was actually reasonably with it. And so there was some, at least I felt some sense of urgency that if I was going to try to learn things from him, or if he was going to help me communicate with my grandmother, or if he was going to be some type of link towards learning more about what this character's family heritage was, that I had to like take advantage of that time, because the next time we got together to play, he might have been completely unable to provide any of that information. So that was really fun to play with. And then it became very tragic when he died, because at least from my end, and I think he did serve this purpose, like he was pretty good at protecting us. And so I think we felt kind of invincible for the first couple fights that we had, because we may or may not have done the right thing, and yet we still survived. And he was a big part of that. And so when he ended up being the one that died in this big fight with the brew, I think at least personally, like as a, it made me like realize like, wow, we've taken this crazy dude for granted. Right. And so, and we are vulnerable, right? We're not invincible. So that was like story-wise, a pretty cool moment. Mm-hmm. And then I also love, I've forgotten her name again.
Octalia.
I'm so bad with names. I also love Octalia, who's a lunar priestess, who's like 16 years old, that we have encountered. And technically she is our captive, but she doesn't act that way. And she, I so want to, one of the characters, I want one of us to be able to peel back the her facade and see who she really is, like who the real 16-year-old is behind this, like, totally cool and collected, again, I'm five steps ahead of you persona that she has. And we've all been trying, and we haven't succeeded yet. And I think from a character perspective, she drives most of our characters crazy. But from players, like, we love her. She's, but she's that, like, she's that challenge that we haven't been able to crack yet. And I feel like if we don't crack it, like, something's really, something's going to go wrong. Like, again, it's a ticking time clock at this point.
It's very true that players adore Octalia. Characters do not. But most of the group has been invested in figuring out who she is. And then there's my character, who is most assuredly not interested. But
I find it funny that you guys keep referring to the that Carthello died in that fight with the brew, and what happened was
not quite true.
You guys ran and left him, and he was captured by the brew and died later.
Yes.
Yes.
That could be.
I actually killed him.
You did.
So there was a great deal of guilt involved with that too. Yes. Yeah.
It was.
Yes.
I really enjoy Octalia and Dark Blood, but the more I've thought about it, I think my favorite NPC so far has been Kennen, who is a completely honest merchant who honestly led two of the player characters to willingly sell themselves into slavery as gladiators. And the rest of you saw it, and you didn't say anything. And as you watched, Kennen very cheerfully and very honestly got them to take all their weapons and all their armor off and step through the doors into the lunar arena where they were slaves for the lunar's entertainment. And it ended up in the death of one of the PCs. There's a lot of anger that one of our players has against Kennen, and it was very funny to watch him and Derlindia try to catch Kennen and then not be able to. So I'm sure Kennen will come back up just for the fact that I love his interactions.
He's so slippery.
What I have enjoyed about Kennen has been my character has had very limited interactions with him, but she's heard everybody else talk about him. So when she really did meet him, she went,
that all makes sense.
I know. Okay, now this makes sense now. You're right. He's delightful and a little squirrely. Yeah. He was an interesting one. Yeah, Beth and I for some reason, we're not quite, our characters were not involved in this exchange with Kenan and the other players. Mm-hmm. And we both figured it out. But since our characters weren't there, we felt like we couldn't say anything. So we just sat there and watched. And it was probably, as a GM, one of those things that I found beautiful. And as a player, incredibly frustrating.
It couldn't have gone better, let's be honest.
It really couldn't have.
Yeah. But so currently, in our marriage negotiations, we have agreed. Well, we, that's slightly. One person has agreed to get a sheep from the clouds, known as a storm ram, for this marriage. And we're all going along with it. But that kind of brings up the interesting races, species, monsters, things about the world. Yes, there are dragons, but they're not your D&D dragons. They're sleeping beasts who are, how big? Like,
they're the mountain ranges of Dragon Pass are the bodies of true dragons. And it's only their dreams that you encounter. When you encounter a dragon in Glorantha, it's probably just a dream, like the dream of another dragon, because they're miles long.
Right. Which is awesome and terrifying. Again, that whole like GM player thing of that is so cool. And oh my gosh, I never want to see that. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of different things that make Glorantha and RuneQuest Glorantha particularly unique and special. Duck people.
We're so close to having an encounter with the duck people. And I think we're all really excited about it. Yes. I don't think we have any other reason for that other than like just duck people. They're like ducks. The fact that they exist.
Yeah.
We've been looking forward to this for over a year. We're almost there if we make it alive.
Right. And Jam reminds us it's not like Daffy Duck or Donald Duck duck people. These ducks worship the god of death and are out to destroy the undead. And that's about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is fine. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got duck people. And then we've got the brew.
They're the worst.
They are. Beth, I would ask you to describe them.
My internal description of brew is I actually have no mental image. It's just like terror.
Abject terror.
Yeah, yes. That they're chaos. They're not necessarily anatomically correct. They can have more mouths and things.
Limbs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes.
I mean, generally, they're beastmen-ish, but that's mm-hmm. just kind of where they start.
Yeah, and then they go from there. And when Jam first introduced them to us, again, this is a group of three ladies, two gentlemen, and he explained that brew are so chaotic that they can breed with anything. And the women of the group heard that and said, well, that's gross, but okay. And Jam reiterated, okay, they can breed with anything. A dead cow, or men, or women. And all it takes is a cut on your leg. And with how chaotic they are.
There you go.
There you go. And how would you describe the reaction of the men to that?
Very unsettled.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah, it was one of those things that then later Beth and I were talking about the interesting moment when that was explained to us and how the ladies of the group went, yeah, that's awful and that sucks.
But okay.
But that's life. And the men were the ones who yelled out in terror.
Yeah.
And you didn't even go in to describe it that graphically.
No, you guys just asked what you know about brew.
Yep. And yeah, the abject terror and mm-hmm. loud commotion that occurred was very interesting to experience
mm-hmm.
and brought to light some interesting lifestyles that even though we all live in the same city and place, our views of the world are quite drastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But yeah, so brew, duck people, trolls and dwarves.
Yeah, but the trolls and dwarves are not like the D&D trolls and dwarves. Dwarves in Glorantha are like carved or cast out of stone and metal.
Mm-hmm.
And are trying to rebuild the world to this like lawful clock. And trolls are a little bit more simian-like. And they're like the people of darkness. They're just the species that developed underground. Humanity happened to be the species that developed on top of the ground. And elves are, you know, plant people. You guys haven't actually encountered
any elves. No, not yet.
We have not.
Yeah.
We haven't made it to any forests. I don't know that we really want to leave the Tula much more.
That's fair.
But yeah, we're hoping that our hiatus will end soon.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back to this game. We'll find our Storm Ram.
Should be about January is my guess.
Okay.
Nice.
My character will have her child. And then we're going to have a wedding.
Yes.
And then I plan
and
to just
and
like,
nothing can go wrong there.
Relax. Like, yeah. So I know for you, JM, RuneQuest Glorantha was kind of the one of those games that you didn't really have a group for it for the longest time. Mm-hmm. Now you do. And I don't know if it's the group or the game, but it's one of your most enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely probably the most fun I'm having running right now. And I'm running a lot. And it's the game that I'm looking to get back to and run for like another 2 or 3 years. So
cool. I'm excited.
Yes.
And Beth, combat wise, even though we're super squishy and Glorantha is terrifying and we're going to go have a wedding, you excited about this?
Well, I feel like, sure. I feel like in my case, my character is so good with her two-handed axe that I don't get as nervous about combat. Mm. But I've got a lot of other skills that I'm not so fabulous at that give me grand opportunity to mess things up, like sneaking and searching and things like that, walking quietly in general. So it's honestly all those other little life things that like campaign things that terrify me more than the battles, frankly, and that provide ample opportunity for things to go south, for sure. Also, so our characters, you can have loyalties to things or love of things, right, or hatred of things. And so those hatreds can be called out when you don't want them to be,
mm-hmm,
to see whether you're actually able to act as you would like your character to, or is your character overcome by their hatred of trolls and can't do what you would like them to. And there's always that thing sitting in the background, too, of when is this going to get called up? Because that, you know, majorly rocks everything then.
It's a minor inconvenience.
Yeah.
Hey, you are so angry at trolls right now that you can't think straight. Quick, go hit one. Why would I do that? Sounds like a terrible idea. But awesome. So to reiterate, RuneQuest Glorantha, been around for quite some time, but it is a D100 game set in a Bronze Age mythical fantasy world. And combat is deadly. But it's one of the games that we enjoy the most.
When things go right, it's like so satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Particularly because they didn't almost go right about like 500 times before then, right? So it's like the amount of relief when things sort of come out okay is just fantastic.
Yes. We highly recommend that you check out your friendly local gaming store, find a game and a group, and sit down and play your own RuneQuest Glorantha. And if you're a little hesitant about a D100 game, Glorantha has also been converted into 13th Age. Mm-hmm. So if you prefer more of that D20, I'm a hero, check out the cool things I can do, 13th Age Glorantha is the way to go. Same world for the most part,
mm-hmm,
because every world is different, but different mechanics.
And if you prefer like more of a narrative bent, HeroQuest Glorantha is also available. So it's interesting. It's the same world, but you've got like three different, like radically different games that you can play in it.
Yeah, which is really cool. And we would really like to encourage you to go out and play. And if you have played RuneQuest Glorantha or any of the Glorantha games, feel free to drop us a note in comments or chat sometime, email, and let us know what your experiences are. And if you would also recommend this game to friends and family. And I can't wait to continue this conversation. And I hope you'll tune in next time for more Dames and Dice.